We open our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 31 this morning, and we'll be reading verses 25 to 26. We will look at the context together, so please keep it open, but we'll stay in this chapter today. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 25 to 26. Hear now the holy, inspired, living word of God. Jeremiah 31, 25 and 26. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful heart. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. Let me read that once more for us. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful heart. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. May the Lord bless the preaching and the receiving of his holy word. This scripture was requested by Rachel. She knows that I'm often taking special requests. And by the way, I always welcome that. Even if I'm back in the exegetical series, I do keep a log, and I turn to them when I need topical sermons due to the time I have to work with. And she requested this. And she said it jumped out to her in her devotional reading. She was returning to some scriptures that she particularly likes, and this jumped out at her as Psalm 116, verse 7 did to me recently. I've read it many times, but for some reason the Lord just kind of brought it to the forefront and had a blessing. So as I looked at it, I said, wow, yeah, this is a special thought to enjoy together today. I think of it in some of what is talked about here. When I think about our toddler recently this week, a couple times when I was rocking our little guy, our baby, not saluting anymore. Feels like we're trying to work with Hulk Hogan or something, but nonetheless, some of you don't know who that is. I guess I should say the Incredible Hulk, depending on your age. Either would suffice. And finally, when we get him to sleep, we'll often just rock him for a while to keep him that way. And our toddler was sleeping on our bed, especially with renovations. We've kind of had him there a little bit more for nap time. And one day this week, I was rocking him, and Mommy was there, I think, standing with me. We're talking, and he started to stir. He had been sleeping for a while. He started just kind of stirring it up, and he's, you know, a little bit distracted and or disoriented, and he sits up, and he looks around, and I say, hey, shh, shh, it's okay. Daddy's here. Daddy's here. You're in Mommy's bed. Everything's okay. Shh. Yeah. Went back to sleep. Right back to sleep. Yes! And then another day, it wasn't quite the same thing, but same situation. And I think I was trying to handle something on a text. I was sort of busy with my smarty pants phone while I was holding Gideon and keeping him asleep. And at this point, our toddler came over, and he stood right in front of me like this. You know? And I'm like, I'll be with you just a minute, buddy, just a minute, just a minute. And he got bored waiting on me. And at this point, this particular day, Mommy was also napping. And so he's, you know, the next thing I know, he's laid right down back to Mom on the other side, and he's gone, sleeping in. His cute little hands are so cute, you know, kind of like this, laying next to Mom back to back, you know. And so he went back to sleep. You see, the result of seeing parental presence for our children is their reassurance and rest. This is what is described to us in our text today. Though God's people grow parched and weary in their stumbling away from him, he renews their strength and he quenches their thirst and gives them sweet sleep by restoring them through repentance. I give that to you as the main idea of our text within its context. Though God's people grow parched and they grow weary in their stumbling away from him, he yet renews their strength and quenches their thirst and gives them sweet sleep by restoring them, by giving them the gift of repentance. Look at verse 25 of our text again. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful heart. That word satiated could be, could be the idea of quenching thirst, giving to drink. You can think about that with Psalm 42:1, right? Like the deer, like the hart panting for water, so my soul pants for you, O Lord. And remember later in that psalm, he says, why so downcast, O my soul? Hope thou in God. He's my strength, he's my comfort, right? But the Lord satiates our thirst. He helps us. But notice the word for. That's connected to what comes before, right? He's saying, because of this. Now, that's really, in the greater context, verses 18 to 24. I'd like to read that with you now, because when he's saying, I'm realizing God will help our weary soul, and I'm realizing the Lord's going to help me to sleep because of that, he's saying it's because I'm remembering something. When I'm a little unsettled and stirred up, I'm remembering something. And let's read together verses 18 to 24. I'm only going to summarize together. We won't look at the details, but it'll help us get a sense of why he's saying this. Verse 18, I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised. As a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. And after that I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Set thee up waymarks, make thee high heaps, set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O Virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice, O mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself and in all the cities thereof together husbandmen and they that go forth with flocks. This is what's leading into verse 25. It says, for I have satiated, I have the weary soul. I've replenished every sorrowful soul. You see, the cause of their restlessness is rebellion and God's rebuke. They're bemoaning the fact that the Lord has rebuked them strongly, and they're suffering. They're struggling. Their sins have brought them into a place of unpleasantness. It's not pleasant. It's necessary, but it's unpleasant, and they're suffering from it. And yet, we see in the same text that the reason that they are renewed in that situation is that God yet still reconciles them to himself by granting them the gift of repentance. You see, rebuke and correction is always intended for his people to bring them to repentance, that they would be restored to him. That's always the story of God with his church. He doesn't let us be rebellious children. He'll punish us severely, but it's always with the point of bringing us to a place of sorrow and repentance, and then he restores us. And so they are realizing that they are restored, and so they rest assured. That's what's important, even with disciplining children, that though they need to be rebuked and strongly corrected, there is always the context of mercy waiting. There's always the context of you are being restored to your parents. And that's what's happening here. And so Jeremiah and the people of God, by extent, are resting in that. They're being reassured in that. And this, verse 26, this is what woke me up in a sense, at least the context and even this thought. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. This is a notion that results in being settled down after being stirred up from slumber, and it naturally brings Christians back to sweet sleep. He wakes up, you know, kind of, maybe it wasn't so much that he is stirred up, so much that he's just kind of, is everything okay? Okay, everything's okay. Sometimes when we're sleeping, we can sort of be startled because of a dream or something. In fact, today I kind of joked with Fernanda. I said, boy, you know, just can never get away from it. I finally, you know, had another rough night and even a sleepwalker last night and all kinds of things. And this morning I just laid down to rest a little bit, you know, and I woke up startled. Because I had a dream that my baby fell off the bed. I'm like, oh, even in my dreams. So maybe, you know, can't even get rest in my dreams. Maybe it's a little bit of that. And then it's kind of like, oh, wait a minute. Everything's all right. My baby didn't fall off the bed. Everything's okay. We're all okay. And so he wakes. He kind of wakes, maybe startled, maybe just need to be reassured, but he is reassured. He sees the Lord is with him. He remembers the Lord is repairing the damage. The Lord is bringing repentance and restoration. And so he can go back to sleep. Jeremiah the prophet, especially representing the church, weeping over the sins of the people, weeping over the people being distanced from the Lord, he can have peace and sleep because he's okay. The Lord's not done with us. The Lord's bringing us back to him truly, not just faking it, but really. So I can go back to sleep. Matthew Henry of the text writes this: "Those may sleep sweetly that lie down and rise up in the favor of God and in communion with him. Nor is any prospect in this world more pleasing to good men and good ministers than that of the flourishing state of the church of God." You can think of Psalm 46 again, we often turn to. You can think of that when we might be concerned about our church. God says, "I'm with you, I won't leave you, I won't forsake you, I will restore you, I'm working, I'm strengthening." You can go back to sleep. Christians, when you wake restless, including when it might be your sins that have disturbed you, may you sing yourself back to sweet sleep with Psalm 4, verse 8. "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Because the truth is, what you sang in Psalm 127, verse 2. "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, and to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." Now, you might say, if you're like me, "Well, I'm not getting a whole lot of sleep right now. For me, it's often just the babies. For you, it could be, I know there's different physical things that are waking you up." We remember there are other scriptures that talk about God gives us songs in the night. So there are different moments and there are different seasons of life. Nonetheless, he gives us the sleep we need. And as it would relate to being troubled of spirit, concerned about our relationship with God and our concern for the church, God says all is well. God reminds us that he's renewing us, he's restoring us, he's giving us repentance, that we would sleep in, you know, true godly repentance, as we have explained from our standards. True repentance should bring us to a place of being able to sleep, because God is restoring us in that and reconciling us anew. Now, there is an old statement that comes to mind as I think about this scripture. Have you ever heard this statement? "God helps those who help themselves." Have you heard that statement? Nonsense. It sounds good, but that's really like, "Yeah, I'm gonna take care of this. I got this, God." Nonsense. Nonsense. Mm-mm. That isn't going to help. That's not going to give you sleep. That's going to cause you to have vanity, staying up too late, getting up too early, worrying about tomorrow, not letting today be enough, not thinking you can sleep, let alone if you were given sleep to have sweetly. No, God helps those who help themselves. That just steals sleep away. God helps those who turn to him for help, who repent of pride, who repent of self-dependence, and seek his mercy and seek his deliverance. When you are stirred from your slumber with restlessness, be reassured that God is there taking care of you, that Christ doeth all things well. You know, Rachel noticed this scripture in a new way when she was reading, returning to this chapter, Jeremiah 31, for one of her favorite verses. And we did preach on that related to the names of God, I believe, or her request on the verse. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. Look earlier in the chapter to verse 3. "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." That almost makes me weep. It's so beautiful, isn't it? That's the husband speaking to the bride. "I've loved you with an everlasting love, so I've drawn you to me. And that's why everything's okay right now. I'll always restore you unto me. I'll always take care of my church. I'll always bring her back. and even the difficult discipline you're going through is from me, only to bring you to a place of real repentance so that you do come closer to me and have better fellowship. I'm taking care of my church because I love her with an everlasting love, which means before the foundation of the world, before we ever existed. You know, we always like to say to our children, I've loved you more than you loved me. I've loved you longer. And they like to argue. I say, it's impossible. I was talking to you through your mommy's belly button, and you did not know. You did not know me first. That's a weak attempt at explaining that God's loved us before we ever existed, and yet he knew us in his mind's eye, for he is eternal. He has everlasting love. Therefore, it never ends. It has always been. He's loved us. He's had a plan for us before the foundation of the world. So surely he's always going to restore us. And surely as he does in repentance, we can rest assured and go back to sleep. Now, may you recall this verse along with what we've looked at today. When you wake, and then may you lay your head back down in peace, remembering Christ never leaves or forsakes his church. One other illustration, since it is on my mind, I think I will bring it up. There was a moment of sleepwalking last night. We moved our boys' bedroom, and our older boys, not so old, they were sleeping in the new bedroom, but I think the younger of the two somehow wasn't really tracking yet, you know, and I had gone out because I'd forgotten to get something kind of late. I came back, and Mommy was like, I'm glad you're back. Something's going on. I'm scared. He was like a mummy walking around, you know. He had actually climbed up the bookcase stairs that are to lead to his bunk bed on the top, which wasn't there anymore, and maybe could have fallen over and gotten hurt, and he was moving all the stuff on the stairs, and when I got in there, Mommy said, when she was saying, what's going on? He was going, I'm going to sleep in my room, you know. The Glazer, I said, all right, that's sleepwalking. I've seen it before with a few of the other kids. I've never seen it with this guy yet, but I think it's just the change of the room, you know. So he had actually made a bed with his pillow of a teddy bear and put some pillows in for his bed, and he had pulled over, and the room's a mess, and he made it worse. He pulled over a big blanket, and he's asleep. I said, hey, do you understand what's going on? Do you understand where you are? And he's like, I said, I'm going to take you back to bed now. I'm going to take you to your new room. Everything's all right. And I picked him up and remembered how heavy this kid is. He's getting big. And put him back to sleep. He slept the rest of the night. And that's kind of what's happening in this scripture. God is even stirring us up sometimes so we sleep more soundly and sweetly and puts us back to bed. May you remember that Jesus never leaves you nor forsake you. If he might allow you to wake at moments, may you look around and see that all is well and sleep soundly. Sleep sweetly. And that's the word for you this morning. See all is well and sleep soundly. Sleep sweetly, for he gives his beloved sleep. Let us pray. Almighty God in heaven, we do thank you that you have not treated us as our sins deserve. And though you do discipline us even severely as a good father, you do not abandon us. You do not leave us. You do not forsake us in our sins. You don't give up on us. You are always restoring us to a good relationship with you by correcting us and bringing about repentance so that we don't fight against you, but that we live for and with you. We thank you, O Lord, that we can awake and see that you have an everlasting love for your church. And so you are always restoring us. You tell us you will not abandon Ephraim. You will not abandon Judah. You will bring us through strong seasons of discipline, but we know that the Lord disciplines whom he loves and that we would come to repentance. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would bless us to respond to your discipline and rebukes with repentance, that we would experience better our reconciliation with you through Christ, and that we would be restored to a better, healthy relationship with you as your children. And, Lord, we recognize that it's hard to believe, and we can be stirred up. Is it true? Did I only dream this? But we can look around and see that you are with us. Your presence is with us in the Spirit. The blood of Christ covers us. We are with Christ in the heavenly places, and all is well. We can rest assured of our salvation. we can rest assured that your church is advancing and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. We can rest assured that you will return for us and we will be raised from the dead and we will live in our new resurrected bodies forever in the eternal day, where we'll never need any reassuring, but we'll be in perfect peace. Lord, use this day to draw us closer to you. Use this day to bring us to repent of our sins particularly, that we would be brought closer to you. For repentance includes not only the hatred and grief over our sin, but the turning to God with the apprehension of the mercy of Christ, that we would endeavor after new obedience, that we would grow in our walk with you. Oh Lord, we pray your blessing on us, that we would have sweet sleep this evening, and that you would even mercifully touch our bodies and our minds when we have other ailments that steal sleep from us. We know there are moments where you'll give us songs in the night, and pray you bless us to use those moments sweetly, but that it will eventually lead to lull us back to sleep in the Lord. Oh Lord, indeed, we will both lay ourselves down in peace and sleep, for you, Lord, only makest us to dwell in safety. For so you give your beloved sleep. Bless us, O Lord, to see all is well and to sleep soundly as we await the eternal day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have secured our salvation as we will now celebrate in the Holy Supper. You will remind us by causing us to remember you that you have done this and it is finished and we will be with you in paradise because of you. Because of the covenant of grace, because of the blood of the everlasting covenant, because of Jesus Christ, our great shepherd of the sheep. And we pray in his name, and we pray as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.